Thank you for joining us on Talk Chef, the podcast where we talk about Top Chef. I am John Drake. You may know me as Top Scallop, maybe Young Crudo. And I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Nashed Potatoes. It's Nash Flynn.
Nice. Nice.
You like that one?
I do.
How are you feeling, Nash? How are you doing today?
I'm hungry now.
You're hungry?
Yeah.
Is it because you just watched some delicious quail being cooked and all that stuff?
1 hour of birds.
The best. And you're kind of a recent convert to birds, so.
That's true. We started eating meat after about 15 years up at the farm because we have a bunch of birds that need to be killed.
Sometimes Nash will just text me a picture of like a pig and she'll be like, what do I do with this? And I'm like, I don't know, like put a bow on it? Like you have to kill it first and stuff. You know, I'm not a butcher, but.
Thank God you finally started responding with you have to just Google it. I'm not Google.com.
I'm going to start giving her completely wrong information. Like, oh yeah, you take a little Dawn dish soap and you just braise it in that. And that should be great. I hope you're not gullible enough to fall for that, but.
You know that I am.
So a little bit about the show. We're going to be a recap show for Top Chef every week while it's on during the season. We're not going to like recap the show from top to bottom because if you're listening to this podcast, I hope you actually watch the show or else what are you doing?
Right.
But we're going to kind of break the show down, give out some awards every week. Everyone gets a prize. The prize is a feeling of accomplishment or disappointment if it's one of the bad awards. They're mostly bad, to be honest. Yeah, we're just going to go through the show. When the season is over, don't you guys worry. We're still going to have episodes coming out with like top 10 lists and fantasy drafts and guests and all that good stuff.
It's going to be dope.
Yeah, it's going to be super dope. So a little bit about me. I am somewhat of a Top Chef super fan. The first season I watched as it aired was the Texas season with my friends Craig and Lori. Shout out to them. That's actually universally regarded as the worst season of Top Chef. So that was the one with the mean girls bullying Beverly the whole time.
Oh, that was brutal. Yeah.
So, but I've been watching it, you know, nonstop ever since. And I went back and rewatched all the old seasons multiple times. And then I decided I wanted to start a podcast. So I was like, who do I know that I would want to do a podcast with? And that's where Nash came in.
You were just like, who would do this?
Yeah. Who would suffer through this with me? So tell us about your Top Chef journey.
Sure. So I started watching Top Chef because I got conscripted into doing a Top Chef podcast. So I have watched 17 seasons in the last 6 months.
That's a pretty good pace.
Yeah. It's a lot of food. So it's been an interesting journey as I also started eating meat again because I can't watch the show and be like, what does squab taste like? So it's been sort of coalescing with my own personal food journey in a strange way.
I don't want to feel guilty. Like, am I the reason you started eating meat again? Because I made you watch so much of this show?
Not necessarily the reason, but it's been interesting watching the show and being like, how dare he overcook this duck? And at first, I had no idea at all.
Right.
I was like, how dare he do this thing that like, I know
that's
nothing
not
about.
That's not how you're supposed to cook duck, right? That's not good.
And so. I still don't know duck, but I did break down a chicken recently. So I watched them break down the birds this episode, and I was like, oh, that's how you do that. I'm an idiot.
Except, like, they do it, like, 8 times faster than we will ever be capable of doing it, but still.
Right. I presume their knives are somewhat sharp. Mine are basically spoons.
Well, that's not safe either. A dull knife is more dangerous because it can slip easier, and you have to apply more force.
Right,
this
but
is what I learned.
Not with toddlers.
All right, fair.
I have a bunch of toddlers in my house, if that was unclear.
So do I. I just don't care about their safety. So I have sharp knives everywhere.
You're brave.
So this was an exciting episode because they're in quarantine just like we're in quarantine. You know, that was kind of fun seeing them with their giant kitchen so they could all be 6 feet apart, but then pairing them up right away so that they can't, right. You know, they don't have any space.
Truthfully, I think it was stressful and relatable to see them wearing face masks like in and outside of the Whole Foods. I was like, right. Oh, I know this feeling, but also, ugh, I don't want to know this feeling.
Like they're wearing masks when they go into their hotel, but then they all just hang out in their hotel room, you know, 2 feet away from each other.
Right.
I guess they're trying to keep it as much of a bubble as they can so they only expose to each other. But I don't know. It'll be interesting. Like, do you think someone's going to get eliminated throughout the season for getting COVID? Like, it seems possible, right?
It definitely seems possible. Although I am pretty sure that Tom Colicchio himself has confirmed on Twitter that no one got sick during the filming that he was aware of.
Ah, shit.
Sorry.
All right. Well, no, I mean, I'm glad no one got sick, but it just kind of kills my theory that maybe somebody gets eliminated because they get COVID.
Maybe they get eliminated for the flu, John. That's the whole thing.
Just as bad, right?
Right. I mean, it wasn't bad this year, but that's because we were all wearing masks. And
because nobody was outside and everyone was wearing a mask when they did go outside.
Right. I mean, I do think it was interesting that instead of the first thing out of their mouths being like, this is the COVID season, they got this acknowledgement in for Black Lives Matter that I really appreciated.
Sure.
Because yeah. It's in Portland, so that was it was nice to see. And then they were like, Padma was like, I've had so many things up my nose, ha! Which was... You know.
Padma, the king of, like, the double entendre.
Right?
Or queen, rather. She's always dropping these wayward sayings and euphemisms.
She's, like, standing 6 feet away from Gregory, and she's like, I have had so many things up my nose. And it's like, okay.
Gregory looking like a lord in his all-black getup. I don't think that's a real shark tooth, though.
Whatever it is, it works. It's a very good aesthetic for Gregory.
Yeah. Gregory. I just hope, like, the whole episode I was nervous that, like, his back was going to go out two-thirds of the way through it, because that's, like, his M.O.
He hung tight, which is good.
He hung tight. No, he hung in there. I love Gregory. I wish he would have, you know, won one of his seasons, even though I'm super happy Melissa won, because she rules so hard.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a little scary we've gotten this far into talking about our guest judges for the season without mentioning the hair.
Oof. The hair.
The hair.
Richard Blaze showing up with a pompadour, I guess you would call it.
It's like a surf wave.
Yeah. Like a tsunami.
Like, I want to touch it, but I'm also very afraid.
It didn't seem like stiff, like you would, you know, it seemed like it had some bounce to it. Like he could kind of move around with it. Like, so that's impressive in and of itself.
Right.
That it doesn't like just hang down in his face, you know?
I'm worried about him. Like, I don't know that quarantine has been good to him, or it's been really good to him. It's, like, hard to tell based on the face and also the hair.
I don't know. I think it's been good to him. He looks great. He's been exercising, clearly. Like, you know, he's tan. I don't know. I think quarantine suits him.
I mean, I would like to agree with you, but Padma also did get in that she was nervous about his hair.
So yeah.
She was right
there.
She
had to throw in her shots.
That's true.
Padma attacking our King Richard. But... I couldn't be happier with this panel of judges they have coming back. Amar, I think Amar was like a super underrated contestant from the California season. And also Kwame, one of my favorite contestants of all time.
So excited to see Kwame on this panel. So excited.
Kwame, I was super bummed because he did this little like mini competition with some past contestants. And it was like, if you win the mini competition, you get to go to the main competition again. But he didn't make it. So I was really stoked to see him back, but he didn't make it all the way to the main competition again. So I'm just happy he's going to be on the show now because I think he's a super exciting young chef.
Yeah, for sure.
Still early in his career. He's got a lot he can do. And then we got Dale, you know, seems much calmer now.
Mm.
He's a little older.
Yeah, that helps.
Because he was a little high strung in his first appearance on Top Chef. And then All-Stars, he got better, but still a little high strung. But now he seems to be chill.
Yeah. I mean, it's easier being on that side of the table.
Definitely not as stressful.
Yeah.
And, of course, Melissa.
A queen.
Just a straight-up queen. I mean, everybody kind of had a hair glow-up, though, when you look at Amar's hair, too. Yeah. He went from just, like, the shaved sides and the buzz cut on top to this kind of ponytail.
It's just a new vibe, you know? Like, we're all just living our hair care dreams right now.
Yeah, what else are you going to do? You got to try some stuff out.
Yeah. I mean, I clearly am.
Nash's hair is blue.
You less so, John.
No, I mean, I did some experimenting with my hair during COVID. I shaved it all off. I had hair when COVID was a thing, and it was like 2 months in, and I couldn't go get a haircut, and I was like, you know what? Fuck it. It was going to happen on its own in a few years, so I just sped up the process. And now me and Tom are our buddies.
Yeah.
We meet at the Bald Dude meetings every month and exchange tips to make it look shinier, waxier.
To be honest, I want to... follow this team every day that I wash my hair. I'm like, oh, I could go bald.
You can live your dreams. You can be the change you want to see.
Yeah, bald.
Bald. The way we're going to be splitting up these episodes is breaking it down into categories every week, and the first one is called Cliche Kitchen, because there's a few things that seem to happen not just in every season of Top Chef, but almost every episode of Top Chef. And we wanted to kind of call them out as we see them. Could be something somebody says that, you know, gets said a lot. It could be a dish or technique that's very common. So the first thing we got to call out is scallops.
Scallops.
We had how many teams in Quickfire? We had four teams.
Four teams.
And we got two scallop dishes.
Yep.
So literally half the Quickfires had scallops on them.
50% scallop rate.
And I know scallops are easy to make and they cook quickly, so they're kind of a good choice for Quickfires, but I'm just begging people to switch it up once in a while. You know, throw a monkfish in there, please.
Go vegetarian.
Go vegetarian. Yeah.
Doesn't need to be a protein on that plate. You can make it work. You're chefs.
What did the scallop really add to, like, you know, that surf and turf dish with the mushrooms and everything? Like, that could have been a fine dish without the scallop.
Right. I actually tried scallops for the first time recently. Not a fan. Please stop using them on Top Chef. They're basically gross.
I mean, they're just like a blank canvas. You know, they kind of take on the flavor of whatever you put on them. So you just sear them real fast. And then you got to put like some lemon juice or something on them, or it just tastes like crunchy salt water. I don't know.
You can also use tofu for that.
We never use tofu in this house. I don't know why.
It's basically scallops.
I'd be texting you. Like, what do I do with this tofu? Like, do I have to butcher it? Where are the bones? Yeah, where are the bones? Does it have like a bloodline I need to cut before I cook it? I don't know. I'm scared.
You just press that shit and go.
And it just like tastes like whatever you want it to taste like, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Start making tofu, I guess. I will let you guys know next week how it goes.
Do it.
We also got one of my favorite like self-call-outs of, I've just got to cook my food. You know, like I've got to cook the food that got me here.
Yeah.
We got that from Roscoe. He wasn't happy with his duck adobo. We'll get more into that in a little bit. Yeah, I've just got to cook my food is like a very Top Chef quote that I definitely noticed getting tossed around a few times this episode. What about you? What do you got for this category?
To be honest, I didn't catch that many cliches, but I do want to spend a quick second talking about I don't do rice, because it's not a cliche, because what the fuck?
I'm not a rice person, I think was the actual quote from Brittany.
Yeah, I'm not a rice person.
She cooks alpine food.
Which is not rice, as we understand.
All we know about alpine food is that it's not rice. That's the only information I have to give you fine people. What the fuck is alpine food? I'm not trying to be dismissive of other cultures. I just legitimately do not know. Is it like Swiss food? Like,
I could have Googled it, but I didn't.
No, we both could have Googled it. I mean, but you know, we're recording this 10 minutes after the episode aired. We didn't have time to do a lot of research. We're trying our best to get this episode out Friday morning for you guys. Also, I don't want to know.
Yeah.
I feel like I've gotten this far in my life without knowing about alpine food. I'll be okay.
I sort of hope she teaches us as we go along. So we know it's not rice. What will we learn next week?
You think Brittany's going to be around long enough to teach us about alpine food?
I think they're going to fire her for almost burning down the Top Chef kitchen. Not going to lie.
Yeah, she left her pumpkin seeds in the oven overnight. Like, she just left the kitchen with the oven on.
And when she realized it happened, she wasn't like, oh, shit, you guys. I should call someone. She was just like, oh, man, you know what? I left the pumpkin seeds in the oven.
Fuck. The little magical intern elves are going to be in there, you know, plucking burnt pumpkin seeds off a baking pan for the next 3 hours.
So rude, Brittany.
Come on, guys. Yeah, take your food out of the oven. Turn the oven off at least. Something.
How is there not like a, before you leave the kitchen, make sure.
Right. You would think there'd be like a safety check. But right. they're so worried about COVID. Like, I guess they're letting some of the other restrictions go go by the wayside.
Leave your ovens on all night. It's fine. Just don't get COVID.
The kitchen did look big, though. I hope everyone brought their Fitbits. They're going to be getting steps. Like, you know.
I'm excited for them. This is going to be a lot of running. And there's an Olympian this season, so that's pretty neat.
Yes, Dawn, the Olympian.
Yeah.
Awesome. I think Dawn, we're going to talk more about Dawn because despite her showing in this episode, I have a good feeling about her.
Agreed.
So yeah, there wasn't too many cliches this episode. I think the challenges kind of didn't really lend themselves to them because in the first challenge, they had kind of strict ingredients they had to stick to. And then in the elimination challenge, they had very strict ingredients they had to stick to. I think when you leave them to their own devices is when you kind of see them start reverting into these scallop crudo type situations where they just make the same things over and over again. Or for our scallop crudo watch, we're going to start keeping track. We had two today.
Two.
So two scallop dishes, zero crudos, but it's going to be a running tally. What do you want to say for the over-under? 50?
God, I hope we don't see 50.
I guess someone gets eliminated every week. So let's say 30. I think 30 is a fair number.
Yeah, all right.
I'm going to take the over on 30 scallops and or crudos for the whole season.
Okay, I'll take the under. I mean, I didn't have a choice, but yeah.
You're going under?
I'm going under.
Yeah, we got to have a competition. It's no fun if we're on the same page about everything.
Right.
All right, so the next category, another one that there wasn't too much material for this was the not here to make friends category. Mm. whenever somebody does something very unfriendly, kind of a reality TV motif. Like, I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to win. So I don't care who I offend slash hurt slash, you know, hamper. The only thing I can really think of is Gabriel had a little comment after the quickfire that the winning team, quote unquote, had the easiest combo. So they didn't deserve to win and the yellow team deserved to win. A stance I know you agree with, but he didn't have to be such a rude person about it. And then Jamie making everyone choke on her Thai chili peppers when she was in the kitchen for the elimination challenge.
Also pretty rude. And,
yeah, I don't think she did it on purpose, but still, not a very friendly thing to do, right?
No. I think also in my notes on this one, first of all, saying that you're not a rice person after someone suggests you maybe make a rice dish out of the weird ingredients you have, a little bit. Like,
yeah,
you don't have to make the rice. There's three people on this team.
Yeah, somebody has to make the rice if we're going to do rice. And if you're a professional chef, I don't care if rice isn't your specialty. You should be able to make it well enough to get through a quick fire.
Right.
That definitely applies, I think. Was that your only entry for this category?
No, we also have Jamie putting the sauce on the skin side of the fish.
Yeah.
Getting some attitude from a teammate.
Yeah, Dawn was not happy with that. Not to blame Dawn. She didn't really express her frustration to Jamie as much as she like looked at the camera with like a Jim Halper face and was like, "Come on, guys! Like, are you kidding me?"
But it's like, really,
right?
Even I would have known that. And I just started eating fish 2 weeks ago.
If you're gonna have skin on something, it better be crispy. Nobody wants to eat flabby skin.
Come on.
Top Chef has gotten progressively more and more like friendly in recent seasons, where there's not as much cattiness. You're still gonna see some here and there, but it's never going to be like it was in those first few seasons where there were literal fist fights almost every week, I think.
I mean, somebody almost got their head shaved. There was Beverly. That was horrible.
Next category is bit in the ass. Did anyone make a classic Top Chef faux pas, such as trying to make risotto, trying to make a terrine, using something that was store-bought when you could have made it yourself because you know Tom's going to fucking notice? Not too much this week, again. Week one is always tough because everyone's kind of feeling the whole competition out, and they're a little gun shy to go for some of these more risky techniques. But time management is just a very common problem we have on Top Chef. And in the 18th season, everyone should be coming here prepared that, you know, you're going to be under a time crunch. You know what you can and can't do after the buzzer goes off. Dawn, like, can I sauce my plate after the buzzer goes off? No, you absolutely cannot. And she seemed almost like annoyed at that response. She's like, I didn't know. And then she cut herself off because she knew.
Because you knew.
I knew. And then not cooking rice correctly. Avishar, come on. You got to cook the rice correctly.
And if you can't cook it correctly, don't serve it.
Don't put it on the plate.
Just don't put it there. Just don't serve anyone undercooked rice.
It did look pretty bland when it was just sitting there on the plate, just a little chunk of white rice.
Yeah.
I wasn't a fan of that. I mean, his chucker, right? Partridge, essentially. His chucker, fried chucker. The chucker itself looked delectable. I would have happily eaten, but yeah, the rice was a mistake. And not cooking rice is a common Top Chef mistake. Not cooking it correctly, I should say. Because I feel like it's something you kind of have to babysit, and you just don't have time to do that, you know?
Right. I mean, maybe he's not a rice person either.
It sure fucking looks like it.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll redeem himself. You know, that's kind of a Top Chef thing, too. I didn't do well in this challenge with this protein or this ingredient, so I'm going to make it over and over again until I get it right. Or get eliminated for it. So next up, we have harshest criticism. We had some choice ones this week.
Yeah, we did.
First, we had Padma making fun of Richard's hair. Not really a criticism because he wasn't being judged, but he was also kind of being judged, right?
Yeah.
Padma just burning Richard on his tall hair.
I love that she says that she's scared of his hair on the week where we're talking about birds. You know, it's just like very like his hair is real up there. She's scared of it. Then she goes right into this like, and we're talking about birds this week. Like,
was she trying to imply there was something avian about his hairdo?
Yeah, I believe that. Thank you, Padma.
I think there could be a line drawn between those two things. Yeah, I could see the connection you're trying to make.
Like she looked right at him and she was like, this week it's birds.
Cool. Oh, there's a bird in here. So actual criticism of the food, I have to go with this absolute gem from Tom talking about Roscoe's duck adobo. He called it a bowl full of fear. just one of the most devastating criticisms I've heard ever on Top Chef. It's just, he almost seems sad to say it. Like, he felt bad about it in the moment. A bowl full of fear. That does not bode well for Roscoe's future in the competition.
No, it does not. That's also on my list because it's also just like sort of beautiful.
Right. It's very poetic, almost eloquent, right, in a way that, you know, you don't always expect from Tom.
If you put it in front of me and you were like, this is a dish we call a bowl full of fear, I would still eat it. I mean, I know that I wouldn't like it, but I would still eat it.
Somebody should have served that during the Charlize Theron episode in Texas, where like it was like, make something creepy inspired by Snow White and the Huntsman. Right. That was the movie she was promoting at the time. So everybody was making like this creepy, like Grayson did like a black chicken with like blood oozing out of it and the claw. Yeah. Like, a bowl full of fear would have been perfect for that.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't actually scary to look at. Like there was, it was just sort of sad. You know what I mean? It was just like gravy.
He was trying to say that the chef was afraid, not that the dish itself was frightening.
Right. But I would still eat it because
it probably tastes better than anything either of the two of us have eaten in like the past 9 months. And the worst dish on any week of Top Chef is probably the best thing I've eaten in years. So
that's true. Me too.
Let's get that out of the way. Did you have any criticisms you want to shout out?
No, because I think for this one, the bottom four were so obviously bottom that it was just like sort of a laundry list of things that there were problems with. You know, the duck was dried. The polenta was really dense. Like you could have looked at that polenta and been like, I'm not going to eat that.
And I think a lot of the harshest criticisms come from expectations. Like when the judges expect more from you than you give them, they tend to be a lot harder on you. And in the first couple of weeks, they don't have those expectations yet. So it's a little harder for them to really like slam you on something because they don't know you yet.
Right. And this was blind too. So it's not like they went in being like, well, we know Roscoe really does smoked meat well and he served us this bowl full of fear, you know?
Right.
There wasn't that expectation either.
Sure, that's fair. It's a good point. And I did want to shout out Tom with some stellar wordplay. For 18 seasons, we've been telling them to season. He threw a little thing in there. You see what he did?
Yeah, I do.
He's talking about Avishar's rice dish there.
But I think that probably he's not remembering that he's told a winner of the show to season all season long.
New Orleans winner, Nicholas Elmy.
I'm still mad about it.
I know. It bugs me too. Nina had that one in the bag. I have eaten at Nick's restaurant in Philadelphia and it's great, but come on.
Nina was robbed.
Nina was robbed. We can all agree. Except for Tom. Tom does not agree. What was your favorite dish from this week? What was the one dish that you wanted to eat the most?
I think Gabriel's honey squab looked just absolutely incredible. Like, it was so simple, and I'm a sucker for honey because we have bees on our farm too, so when they said it was local honey, I was like all the way in.
Local honey, also the name of an excellent album by Brian Fallon, former lead singer of the Gaslight Anthem.
What terrific trivia.
Yeah, that's why I'm here. I'm actually going with a quick fire dish this week. Rare that a quick fire dish is the favorite, but the halibut with Meyer lemon from the quick fire, the winning dish, looked awesome. I'm a sucker for like a fish and lemon is such like a classic combo, but it looked excellent. And halibut is just a delicious fish, so I was really interested in putting that in my face.
I actually had halibut this week.
What'd you think?
It was actually really, it was probably the best fish that I've had so far. And I'm not a big fish person. I really don't like it. But it was decent. Like I could eat it again, which is impressive.
Will you commit to eating a different new protein every week before an episode so we could have Nash's culinary adventure?
I love that. Yes. Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's do it.
So this week will be halibut and it gets a thumbs up.
Yes, it gets a thumbs up.
Awesome. And then our final category, we're going to do elimination predictions for next week. And I'm going to try to keep track of this and see who has the better track record on guessing next week's eliminated contestants. So hit me with who you think's going home next week.
I think it's going to be Jamie.
You think Jamie?
Just sort of a messy week for her.
Yeah, not great.
Like skin problem aside in the elimination in the quickfire, and then in the elimination she also didn't do great.
Yeah, she overcooked her turkey. She choked all her fellow chef testants with her Thai chilies.
She makes a lot of noises instead of making words, which I actually like. I don't think anyone else does.
Yeah, personally I find her to be, you know, nice enough. She seems delightful, but she has the same issue that I think my choice has, which is a lack of confidence. And that's never a good thing. You can kind of see the deer in the headlights look that some contestants get. And I felt that about Jamie. I also felt it about Brittany, the Alpine chef. So I think Brittany is gonna go home next week. She seems to lack confidence and also lack focus. You left your pumpkin seeds in the oven.
Right? Come on. Don't burn down Top Chef when you're trying to win Top Chef.
That the season is happening at all is a miracle. Don't ruin it by burning down the Top Chef kitchen. You know?
I guess it would be a good sanitization tool.
Sure. Yeah, there's no bacteria anymore. They moved heaven and earth to make this season happen. Don't go and ruin it now. We're so close. I mean, I assume the season's all filmed. That's how it happened, so.
Yes, we're watching history now.
If she burned it down, we would know. So those are our categories, but some other just stray thoughts I had. I really wish I was quarantining in the Top Chef hotel. It looks fucking awesome.
Yes.
And also the stew room is so luxurious compared to past seasons because it had to be like five times as big to fit everyone safely.
I'm still upset we called it the stew room.
What would you have gone with?
Just like wait here?
No, it needs a name. I think it was the contestants that actually came up with the name. Like, I don't think the producers called it the stew room. Because they're stewing
in the room.
Thinking about what's going to happen. But then stew is also a type of food. It's a good double entendre there. I like it. It's wordplay. Why are you laughing at me? I'm being sincere.
I know. That's why I'm laughing.
Is that why you're laughing at me? So they had top and bottom out at the same time for judges' table. What do you think of that little twist?
I actually sort of saw that coming when they announced 8 dishes at once. I was like, there's no way they're doing 8 tops and 8 bottoms. That's insanity. So, and especially like when you sort of looked at the dishes that they were calling, you're like, oh, those ones were really good. And like, oh, those ones were not so successful.
Yeah, it was a little telegraphed for us, but not for the chefs. I really think they had some anxiety about it.
And I sort of missed that anxiety because I feel like in past seasons you could really tell.
Yeah.
And they could really tell. So it's kind of fun for me to watch some of them suffer a little bit. Sorry, guys.
I agree. No, I think it's a good wrinkle. It kind of brings some mystery back to the proceedings. Because like you said, when they're calling out 4 dishes, whether it's the top or the bottom first, because I know they try to switch it up once in a while, you can tell just based on the judging who's who. So it keeps the viewers in a little bit of suspense in addition to the chefs. So I'm a fan.
Yeah. I love that Dawn straight up didn't believe them when they came back in.
I know.
Like, wait, we're in the middle? What? No.
Dawn, who left an entire 2 elements off her entire plate and still didn't get on the bottom. That should tell you something about the dishes that were on the bottom. And that's why I think Dawn, I have 2 picks for who's going to win the season, and Dawn is one of them. Mm. Because I think if you can end up in the middle while missing so much of your dish, the other components had to be good enough to really kind of push you. And then I think Shota is also going to be a force.
Yeah.
I had seen him on Iron Chef Gauntlet a few years ago. He just seemed like a badass then, too. So those are my 2 picks. You have anyone you want to shout out as a possible winner already?
I definitely had Dawn on my list. I think Sarah's also one to watch. And I really like her a lot because I think she has the same thing as Richard does, where she just sort of goes in hating everything that she's ever put together. And then she has, like, nothing left once that plate is put together. You know, she's like, oh, man, this is the worst thing. I'm going to go home over this, which we heard a lot out of Richard, especially his second time around.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's sort of a similar vein where she's just so caught up in the things that she couldn't accomplish that she can't see what she did accomplish.
Sure.
Which I enjoy.
That's a good shout. I got some Richard vibes from her. I see where you're coming from with that. I also got some Carrie vibes, Carrie Baird from the Denver season. Mm-hmm. Or as I call her, funeral potatoes. or fancy toast. Everyone knows her as fancy toast.
Fancy toast.
But she had this same kind of approach where, like, she made really simple food and she just, like, came off as very nice. And I think it caused some of the other chefs to underestimate her. And I could see that happening with Sarah. But, yeah, her food seems legit. Winning with immunity is always, like, a real feather in your cap because it shows that you're not willing to just mail it in, you know, when you don't have to really put your best foot forward. The other approach to that is, like, what Kevin did last season when he had immunity. So he just, like, cooked, like, a pork tenderloin and some carrots. He, like, clearly took a week off. I guess that's a good way to, like, rest, you know?
But I mean, sometimes you just need a break.
Sometimes you just need a break. So I see both strategies having merit. But, no, I think Sarah is definitely going to be a fun one to watch. I could see her going far. But I'm going to put my money, if I had to pick one of my two, I'm going to go Shota.
Yeah, I'll go Sarah, I think.
You're going to go Sarah?
I'm going to go Sarah.
All right. We have a lot of wagers going already.
Yeah, this is a lot. I'm stressed.
I promise I don't have a gambling problem. Like, we're actually not betting anything on this, just bragging rights.
He's just saying that into the microphone. He's literally texting me right now, being like, how much are you putting up for this category?
I'm just counting my money already.
So stressful.
I do Top Chef Fantasy with some friends and my wife, and I've won the last 2 years, so.
I'm not going to put any money in this category, John.
All I'm saying is, you know, I've got a good track record when it comes to betting on Top Chef. We don't actually play for money. We play for a meal. They have to cook me a meal only because I'm the only one that's ever actually won. But the losers have to make the winner a meal, and the losers being them and the winner being me every single year.
Damn.
They still owe me this meal because, you know, COVID.
Oh, that's true.
So I'm owed one meal and probably two by the time we're all done. Do you have anything you want to add before we sign off for the week?
I just want to say one more thing. I think when you're on a team and you don't know anybody and your three ingredients that you have to use are a cheese, a calfette, and chocolate, and you pull it out and then you don't get the win because some other team had like better assembled ingredients, like that's so Top Chef for me.
I see what you're saying. I get where you're coming from. I disagree because nobody put a gun to their head and made them put, you know, these ingredients in their box. You picked these very specific weird ingredients. If you know Top Chef, you got to know it's not going to be as easy as just make a dish with your secret ingredient. You know?
I like to think that they were set, you know, they were given this task of like things you can't live without in the kitchen. And then the producers actually picked the worst thing.
Oh, like they gave them a few choices?
Because it definitely sounded like to Padma, when Padma started introducing it, that she said things, not like the one thing you can't live without.
I'd be shocked if the producers picked it, though, because Padma even called out the rice vinegar and butter. And she was like, you guys know we have those in the kitchen already. Like, why did you pick those specifically? So I don't see the producers picking something that they had available in the kitchen already, you know, because that would seem like an unfair disadvantage.
The question was so unclear, just like, what are things you can't live without? So some people picked really specific things, probably thinking ahead to like what. Like, we're only going to get what's in the pantry plus our one specific thing. And other people were like, I'm going to take that at face value and be like, I can't cook without butter. You know what I mean?
Right. I think you have to play the game like Richard did. Always trying to see the angles. Yeah. Always looking for, you know, what is the producer trying to gain with this? Because he was always trying to guess what the game was. It's not just about the food. It's about the game.
Right. But these people are new in this season. They haven't quite figured that part out yet.
That's
I think
fair.
They will, but you know, you could see you get a team like this, you manage to make something incredible, and then you don't get the win just based on how hard it was. That's pretty brutal.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, and the fact that they pulled out a pretty good dish out of those ingredients, you know, speaks well to their talent and how far they can potentially go.
Right.
But I'm excited to see it.
And me too.
I mean, that's pretty much all I've got for this week. Very exciting to be recording. I can't wait to dig into this whole season of Top Chef. I've been waiting so long for it to come back, and I'm just real happy right now. How about you?
I'm real happy. I'm so excited to see what they've had to modify and adjust for the reality that we're living in, especially with them in Portland. So it was interesting to see them in face masks this week. It feels very stressful and also like, oh man, I know that experience. And it's nice to see it sort of on TV too, to be like, it wasn't something that I lived alone, you know?
Right.
So that's been interesting. But I'm really just excited to see what Richard does with his hair for the next 15 episodes.
Something tells me you will not be disappointed. We're going to get some fun Richard hair.
So excited.
And I'm looking forward to it. Thanks so much for joining us, you guys. Make sure to rate, review, subscribe. Follow us wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us on Twitter. If you have any questions, want to talk to us, DM should be open. And
hell yeah.
Thanks so much for coming and hanging out this week. We'll see you next week. We Talk Chef, the podcast where we talk about Top Chef. Do you know what this is? Back in life, comes with brilliant.